Welcome to the Sourcing Hero podcast, produced by UNA, a group purchasing organization that empowers sourcing heroes, and Art of Procurement, the world's largest procurement podcast network. I'm your host, Kelly Barner. The goal of the Sourcing Hero podcast is to capture the epic stories of people who are rising up and beating the odds to create exceptional value within procurement, directly from those heroes themselves. Today, my guest here on the Sourcing Hero podcast is Chris Lance. Chris is Vice President and General Manager at UNA, a group purchasing organization and the home of the Sourcing Hero. Chris joins me every month to tackle a current news story or a topic of interest from his own point of view. So, hey, Chris, thanks for being back on the Sourcing Hero podcast.
Back again. Hey, Kelly.
So this month, we're actually going to take on one of those stories. And it's so funny because this happens all the time. It was the only thing anybody could talk about until it wasn't, right? And everything just went quiet. And believe it or not, it's the bridge collapse in Baltimore. So just to take everybody back through a few of the basics, because it really hasn't been in the headlines the way you would think. A container ship called the Dolly hit the Francis Scott Key Bridge at 1:30 in the morning local time on March 26th. Now, the bridge goes across the Patapsco River, and very sadly, six construction workers died in the bridge collapse. So the state police were able to close the bridge in time. Mayday calls went out from the ship, but that construction crew was out there, I believe, repairing potholes, doing road conditions, and they did not get them off the bridge in time. So now there are multiple investigations going on in parallel. One, the newer investigation is being led by the FBI. They're trying to figure out if any federal laws were broken. And that's against the NTSB investigation, which isn't about criminal blame or charges. It's just trying to sort of reconstruct and learn. So the ship is still in place. The bridge is still sitting on the bow of the ship. And they're periodically opening up additional channels so that ships can try to get in and out of the port. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers hopes to have the port fully back open by late May, which is still a whole nother month away. But this is a topic, like I said, dominates the headlines for a minute. And when we were talking about picking this month's topic, you had suggested we pick this story precisely because people are starting to forget. Can you talk about why that was so important to you?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I mean, maybe it wasn't the most fair statement to make because there really have been some wild headlines, even just since the bridge collapse. I mean, holy cow, right? But I just keep going back specifically to this story to find out what's going on because it really is going to translate to losses in, like, I don't even think it's millions. It's clearly going to be billions at this point. And it's, to your point or our point, it's seemingly just fallen off the radar. And, you know, initially I was seeing all kinds of stuff like mass casualty event. Is the U.S. under attack? Well, it collapsed and now it's like on a high pressure gas line. And to be fair, the limited footage that I saw, it was pretty questionable. It definitely is some weird stuff. But again, for me, it's just there's all these unknowns, but we're just fine with moving on. And, you know, to your point, you know, they're not going to open the port. They're hoping, right, to open the port end of May. Yeah, but I think I read that, I don't know if he's an expert. I'm forgetting the name right now. But they were saying that for the bridge to be rebuilt, I mean, it's easily 5 to 7 years. So, you know, back to your point on, you know, people falling off the radar. Maybe that shouldn't surprise me. You know, I mean, I started thinking about other stories that we've moved on really quickly, and it's like, wow, like the Hawaii and the fires, you know, East Palestine and the train disasters, or how about the multiple food processing plants that went up in smoke? I mean, or dare I even mention COVID? Right, like I think everybody wants to just forget about it, but there's still massive investigations going on, new information being released, really pointed legal challenges. And who's following it though, you know? And so for me, it's difficult to move on from topics like this, because if we if we never know certain answers to problems, malicious or accidental, how do we prevent them from recurring, you know?
So I know, and it is so interesting, and it was funny. It was sort of that FBI decision to investigate. And of course you get like the dramatic pictures of like, right, they're boarding the ship. My understanding is that the crew's still on board. Like they had tons of food because they had a really long journey ahead of them. So they're all stocked up on supplies. Mm-hmm. They're staying on the ship and they're receiving services and they're, you know, able to communicate and all of that. But so the FBI are now boarding the ship to sort of visit with them and investigate. But the idea that even the NTSB has sort of that different perspective on investigation, what went wrong, what can we learn, how do we prevent this in the future? It's two different, interesting perspectives on the idea of accountability. And it's interesting because it's a couple of different Singapore-based companies that own and manage the Dali. And they went to U.S. federal court and filed to exempt themselves from liability related to the crash, which is interesting. And they've sort of owned up. There's a number that's been pre-agreed to. I think it's actually like the value of the entire ship and all of the cargo. They've said, okay, up to this point, we will accept financial liability, but nothing more. Do you think, Chris, this is the kind of decision or step that has a way of giving big business a bad name?
So to me, I think it most certainly is, right? Like to me, it's kind of an integrity thing. Like I get it. These are the type of losses that some businesses that you would never, arguably never recover from. Mm-hmm. But when you're starting a business, or I guess it's just as simple, is that not part of the risk or the line of business that you're in? Is that not the purpose for contracts, insurances, like all these different things? Ultimately, like I did hear about like that filing, but I do think that especially in maritime, I think it's kind of probably posturing. Maybe they're hoping it goes through, because yeah, I think most of those limitation of liability actions fail because there's going to be some fault on the part of the vessel owner. Because I think they even start looking at maintenance, or was the ship even seaworthy? So we'll see if they get let off the hook that easily. But the fact that, to your point, the fact that it was even filed for, like, I don't know, it's not shouting nobility, you know, from my view.
And filed for while the bridge is still sitting on the ship.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The ink's not dry, you know?
Yeah. Yep.
And it's interesting because you think about, okay, on the one hand, there's accountability. On the other hand, there's clarity and transparency and understanding. And we do want to learn. Mm-hmm. And yet the way our media cycles work, it is so natural that when something like this happens, there's a lot of theories that get thrown out really before the facts sort of come in. I mean, I definitely read things about the possibility of terrorism. Any of us that lived through 9/11, you don't see this happen and think, okay, could it have been on purpose? Right. You can't cross that thought out completely. The possibility of a cyber attack, right? And so I even had read at one point that some sources were upset with Elon Musk because X, formerly known as Twitter, allowed some of these theories to circulate. Mm. It took my mind back a few episodes on this show, actually. I was talking to Tom Williams. He's an airborne intel analyst in the U.S. Army, currently serving. And he was talking about the idea that first reports are always bad. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you don't have the luxury to wait. But if you can, just, you know, keep your powder dry. The facts will come out, right?
Yep.
Take it all in, but don't necessarily get upset about any particular thing. I'm interested in what you think about the natural human tendency to speculate, maybe to lean towards some of these things where you go, I don't know, that is an interesting possibility. Mm-hmm. But then the corresponding force with which some of these rumors and speculation get quashed. It sort of brings us back to like a freedom of speech, freedom of the press kind of topic. Mm-hmm. This ties right into that tendency, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. So what's interesting too is I definitely saw some of that stuff too. And I think that's what actually kind of grabbed everybody by the chin and had their attention around the bridge, because there were so many different arguably intense, but maybe even competing stories on what was actually going on. I think so the human tendency, you know, depending on how someone is wired, anytime there's an action, there's going to be some sort of like brain stimulus, right? Does it go to a positive place, a negative place, fight or flight, you know, classic fight or flight. But there's always that knee-jerk reaction. So I don't know that I would disagree with, I think you said it was Tom. I don't know that I would disagree with him. But that's also why I said what I kind of did earlier, right? Like where it's like, how has everyone moved on? Because there is very, very real risk in people seeing one headline and never revisiting the story again.
Yes.
And why there's risk in that is because now their understanding of an event, which in their mind is history, is fact, may not have evolved to the truth, right? And so, you know, I'm all about free speech. You know, I believe, you know, especially as of late, say what you want and say it with your chest. Mm-hmm. But I think the biggest thing for me, what I've noticed about whether it's mainstream news or journalism in general, is journalism, it used to be like breaking news, and then people would follow the story as it evolved. Nowadays, it's breaking news, it's over, move on. And it's like, well, is there even an investigation that's been completed? So I'm of the opinion that facts should be shared, and then those facts should be updated as new true information is found. I think the only problem is, right, like everybody kind of pointing at Elon, it's like, well, who really controls the information and how it's updated or shared? But maybe that's another topic for another time for us. But
that's just a requirement of where we are right now. Right. Every single topic, does not matter what it is. Yeah. You have to talk about AI and why it's probably Elon Musk's fault. Like it really it could be frogs. It could be crop rotation. It could be absolutely anything. You have to sort of push the button on those couple of topics.
Right.
And maybe on that theme, mm-hmm. where we are as a society right now, I think of all the speculation and theories that circulated, the thing that I found the most surprising, especially given the speed of it, was how soon people started asking whether we would need to rename the bridge after it was rebuilt. So again, like it's 24 hours. We're not 100% sure what's happened. We're still trying to figure out casualty numbers. Is it safe for the divers to go down and try to recover people? Question number one is everyone okay? And question number two then becomes, should we be offended? Is this an opportunity for us to need to be offended and to rename the bridge? Chris, how does that become a question that we ask so quickly? What did you say? 7 years to rebuild the bridge? It's not even going to have the port reopened for another month plus. And we're speculating about renaming the bridge. Mm. How does that fit into our processing of this story?
Well, so to me, that focus is just so, it's so misguided. And it's like, what's the end goal, right? So I believe I saw or read something around this, and I admittedly didn't pay it too much mind because I kind of got irritated about it. But I think it was the CAAL, or the Caucus of African American Leaders. And it was the question, right? Is now a good time to change the bridge? Admittedly, from the person who wrote the Star Spangled Banner to something else. And so, so for me, it's like, I don't know. I always tend to like to pose questions back with questions, like especially if it's contentious, maybe, right? Because I want to really understand. So we're talking Maryland, so arguably we're really talking Baltimore, right? So I would ask, what actions are being taken to address black on black crime in the metro? What about the educational scandals going on in the Baltimore City public schools, where most, if not every single child, has fallen behind the national average? What about the violent crime that all the children are being raised in due to failed social justice policies like defunding the police? What about the inner city economy that creates a farm system for crime rather than real opportunities? Like, that's going to go away by changing the name of a bridge? So what's the real motive? What's the real angle? I just don't see it. I'll say what I think it is. I think it's intentional division of the country. And I believe that the good and bad, the history of our country, is what formed the nation we are today. And so I think changing names for like Francis Scott Key, right? I love, you know, I love quotes, but what keeps ringing in my head is those who don't know history are doomed to repeat it. Like, why are we erasing? Like, what is going on? So I think we've lost our way a little bit. And I'm concerned that these types of continuing divisive topics, it leads us towards a path of destruction. Cause I don't know who quoted this one, but no great nation can be conquered until it's destroyed itself from within. And so depending even on the topics we're not touching on, right? I just look around and I'm like, okay, economy, check. Limiting speech, check. More division, check. Weaponized legal system, check. Polarization of topics and no room for middle ground, check. So I'm really glad you asked this question, because I think people really need to snap out of it and realize that these little things, like, I shouldn't have clicked away, you know, and just got frustrated. I should have leaned into that, or maybe added a comment or shared the information. Because what I think people need to understand is that these right now, these are moments that history will rewrite about. So I could keep going on this angle, but I'll just say that when I saw the loss of life, the billions of dollars, the supply chain impact, like all the procurement and sourcing professionals and heroes that I know that are going to have to try to navigate this, the last thing I thought of was, what should we change the name of this bridge to? So.
Absolutely. And, you know, it is interesting, you know, you talk about, we've got more than enough division, right? And every month you and I sort of touch on this. Okay, ticking down the months towards the election, every single topic is going to be either an opportunity to divide or an opportunity to unite. It may have been too quick, but I would like to think in my heart of hearts that in listening to this story, there was one moment where every single person thought, if one of those six people had been my brother, best friend, cousin, dad, right? A little piece of you goes to the bottom of that river with them, because all of us can put ourselves in this position. Can we find good in this, Chris? I mean, obviously there's never pure good in loss of life, but can there be a silver lining? Can we have something positive come from this situation, even if it's just a change in perspective, so that we're not walking away with sadness only, but we're walking away potentially also having grown or matured or expanded our perspective in some way?
Yeah. Well, so I believe it can, and I believe it should, but can being the key answer. Can if the event or if the situation is viewed correctly. I mean, I think you mentioned it earlier, but look at how 9/11, to use it as an example, look, in my lifetime, that was the most galvanized I had ever seen the nation ever, right? So despite opinions on what 9/11 was really about or who was involved or why, look at how the nation responded as a people, as a republic, right? Unfortunately, from my view, that's not where we are right now, not even close. What I actually, to your point or our point, what I see happening is seemingly every topic being used to cast blame or hurt someone else. It's honestly kind of disgusting. What I love your angle on asking our hero question, right? Because we do need to come together, period. But especially in times of crisis or disaster. I'll never forget, right? Like, it's united we stand, divided we fall. And I think that the sooner we bring that mentality back, the sooner we start to see more resemblance of the country that we all love. So.
Absolutely. Well, amen to that, right? Yeah. Because we do need, there's a lot of work to do. And if we can't pull together and approach all of this as a community, as a nation, as cities, as company teams, we're not going to be able to get done the work that everyone else requires of each of us. Now, Chris, it's interesting because you come back every month and hopefully it's evident we don't shy away from anything tough. We try to be fair. We work very hard to be fair, but we're willing to take on some of these topics that seem to always find their way into procurement and supply chain. If people are meeting you for the first time by listening to this conversation, they're interested in learning more, maybe connecting with you. What is the best way for them to reach out and get in touch?
Yeah, so I am on LinkedIn, so that would be Chris with a K, K-R-I-S, Chris Lance. Another way to get in touch with me would just be emailing me directly. That's Chris, K-R-I-S, at una.com. And then, yeah, to your point, this was a little bit more of a little charge there on my last few statements. So I would say if this is your first time listening to me, definitely check out some of the other episodes that Kelly and I touch on, because you're right, Kelly. I think procurement touches everything, so our topics tend to spiral into a lot of different directions. But yeah, LinkedIn, or you can send me a direct email. I'd be happy to have a conversation.
And just to add to your point about other episodes, I always take the time to put links to the last few conversations we've had down in either the Una website post or in the show notes, depending on where you found this show. Not helpful in the slightest because this is audio, but I'm pointing down. look down there. There's other links down there. Go check out other topics and episodes. But Chris, as always, fantastic, thought-provoking conversation, and I look forward to doing it again next month.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Sourcing Hero Podcast. Join us again next time for more true stories of sourcing and business heroism performed by your colleagues and peers. Look for the Sourcing Hero wherever you get your podcasts, and don't forget to subscribe. Finally, don't forget, sourcing heroism is taking place all around us every day. Keep your eyes open and you're bound to see it. Until next time, I'm your host, Kelly Barner. Stay well, and always remember that you can be a hero too.